Bibles to 1 Peter. We're back in 1 Peter. Just a couple verses today as we're getting prepared for our baptismal service. This here in just a little bit, I want us to look in God's Word and where we've been, and I hope we have a copy of it because it's so important. I'm always challenging you to make sure we have "Thus says the Word of God" that we can hold in our hand, that you keep this man accountable that's behind this pulpit, that he's preaching you from the Word of God, not his opinion, not what is agenda, but what does the Word of God say. So take it in your hand, whether it's electronically or you have a copy, and stand to your feet and let's reverence the reading of God's Word. It'll only be two verses today, but fully loaded now. I'm telling you, these verses are loaded. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2:11-12. 1 Peter 2:11-12 says this: "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I pray, dear God, touch our hearts with your word. May help it to make a difference in our lives. For your glory, in Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. Christian living is the title of this message. Peter, we finished up last week's message, and he showed us, he brought out these beautiful truths and illustration that we are a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, and that we are called the people of God, and how he's brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he's went on about the last few verses about how this salvation that God has given us and how wonderful that it is and the grace of God that's been applied to our life. And then we get to what I call the hinge verses of 1 Peter. You say, well, what is a hinge verse? It's the practical. It's like, okay, we have this great salvation. We're this spiritual house. We're this royal priesthood. We have this marvelous light. What are we supposed to do with it? It's a great question, ain't it? How do we apply it to our lives? And that's where we're at today in Christian living, that he's describing who we are and then how it's supposed to look. How we are in being, living out what we are in Christ. And that's so important to us as God's people. And so I want us to look at two areas of our Christian living this morning. I love this because the handbook, the Christian Living, really is the title of that whole 1 Peter. He's very practical. This is what it's supposed to look like. Don't you love that? God's Word, practical, great theological depths, but also you see it in Paul's writing, you see it in Peter, most of your major writers. You know what they do? And I thought, well, wait a minute, it's not the man side of it, it's God. He wants us to see this is what the wonderful grace looks like. This is what you're supposed to do with it. Aren't you glad we serve a practical God? I don't know about you, but it sounds pretty good to me. I'm pretty practical. Anybody say amen this morning? It's like everybody like, it's all good. I want you to see first an inward discipline, verse 11, where it says this: "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." And so we see Peter, he's saying he's begging or he's urging them. These believers are to they're supposed to think and live in a particular way. And what is that way? Biblically. Please listen. We are to think biblically today. In 2019, are you crazy, Pastor David? No, I'm not. Think biblically. We let the Word of God make a difference. It helps us make our decisions. In business, oh, God don't care about our business. Afraid not. He cares about what you do in your careers, all these things. God doesn't, I'm not going to ask him about the things to do in marriage. Does God care about my marriage? Yes, he does. Does God care about my kids? Yes, he does. Does God care about our friendships? Does God care about everything? Our hobbies. God cares about our hobbies. Anybody say amen? Brad, when you're all over that pen, are you saying, praise the Lord, or look what I'm doing? When I'm out shooting a big buck, the first thing I do is say, praise the Lord! Thank you, Jesus! And when you miss one, Lord, help me! But I'm just saying he wants to be a part of all of our lives. Come on. That's what he's getting at here. And he's saying, listen, think biblically. And look how he describes us. Look, it says beloved of God first. And he uses that word beloved or beloved. Peter's addressing those that are loved by God. Do you understand this morning that you are loved by God? If you're his child, he loves you. Beloved. Wonderful words. And I want you to know this has got to be our starting point. It's got to be our starting point. The love of God should motivate us and drive us in our life and everything that we do. Not his love for us. Listen, or not our love for him, his love for us. Okay? Our love is fickle, but his love is perfect. He loved us. Well, how do I know that he loved me, Pastor Dave? He loved me this much. If it wasn't for him, we'd all be lost. What man messed up, God fixed by sending Jesus into this world. Wow, when we think about that. And you know what he's given us? His name. What are we called? Christians. Christians. Christ, little Christ, Christ-like ones. He's given us that name that we are called to go out and live this standard that he's given us. He's given us a name. He's given us a standard that by that we uphold his reputation. Don't tell me you're a Christian and live contrary to God's word and out here in the world you look no different than the world and you're saying, well, I'm uplifting and I'm upholding God's reputation. No, you're not. You're actually pulling it down. And if the truth be known, it's what the world is tired of, Christians that are saying that they're Christians but live contrary to God's word or live worse than what most of the heathens live. It's a standard. Peter's calling us to a standard of living. And it's not. I'm so glad it's not a performance-based religion, aren't you, dear Lord? You're talking about coming in last place. Performance-based. It's not a performance-based religion, but it's a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, his Son. It's not on our performance. There's a standard that we live by, but listen, he don't check it out and say, well, Dave, you didn't do very good on your Bible reading this week. He get an X there. Aren't you glad? Listen, his love is so perfect. I don't know how many times I can tell you this. It doesn't. His love is perfect. It means whether I mess up or whether I do good, his love doesn't change. It's not motivated. God's love is the same. Do you understand? And so that drives me. In other words, if I do this for him this week, he's going to love me more. That's wrong thinking. That's not biblical thinking. He loves me because he loves me. I do these things, not opposite. I'm not earning his love. He loves me. Wow. We should never get over that. Never get over the love of God. And so I want you to see, listen, he has chosen us out of the world. He calls us beloved. John 15 says he calls us his friends. His friends. And he challenges us to remain in his love. And you know what he's saying? He challenges us not only that we're his friend, he challenges us to love each other. He said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, you're my followers, you're my children if we have what? Love for God? Love for one another. How's your love for one another this morning? This is inward discipline. So we see that we're beloved, but next that we're sojourners and pilgrims. He's already called us that at the very beginning of the book. If you remember, he's writing to the pilgrims of the dispersion. And so he's saying that we're these pilgrims, we're these sojourners. What does that mean? Have you ever seen an alien, Pastor Dave? I'm looking at a room full of them. Is that not what the scripture says? We're aliens and sojourners? I mean, we're aliens. What does that mean? Oh, I don't mean a little green man or somebody that looks something from space. I'm talking about aliens that are not of this world. You're of your heavenly home. And he's saying, hey, you're not of the world. We don't love the world. For God so loved the world. I'm talking about the world in its order. The world in the flesh. The world and all these things that pull and go contrary to God's word. We don't love those things. We love the people that are in there because such as one of us, except for the grace of God. That was me without the grace and somebody caring enough to tell me about the marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you remember somebody came to you and talked to you about Christ? I'll never forget as a heathen. I didn't want to hear it. Why? Well, they thought they were better than me. They thought that they had something that I needed. But then you know what? When the grace of God touched my life and the light of God shined into my sin and my darkness, you know what I did? I went back and thanked those people. was saying words that you shouldn't want to say, getting cussed, and I would turn my back on them. Those very ones are the ones that I went back and said, thank you for caring enough to tell me the truth. So it's not in how we get our reception. We want to be received by everybody, don't we? We want everybody to love us, and when people respond to us that way, it'll keep us from sharing the gospel. Listen, there might be some redneck preacher that you're telling that, right? Let him respond that way. You just keep on telling him about Jesus, all right? Sojourners. 1 John tells us that we cannot love both the world and the world and Christ. We can't have both systems. We're an alien here. We don't fit here. We're a stranger to this world. We appreciate all the good gifts God's given us, but we don't make the idols out of them. We don't make that what life's worth living about. This world, why? It's passing away, and we're passing through. Aliens and pilgrims, sojourners, going through. He's called us to an eternal inheritance, not in this world. You know what? We only have a passport because we're just passing through. Now listen, the world will tell you, oh, you only go around once. You only go around once. Go for the gusto. I think that was a beer commercial, wasn't it? You only go around once. Go for it. Guess what? Wrong answer. I'm not going around. I'm going through. Ha! I'm just a passing through. We're just going through this world. I'm heading home. This is not my home. This is not my home. But we also realize that he's talking about the general orientation of our life, where he talks about the lust of the flesh, and it's an enemy. Your flesh wants to control your life. Anybody that's saved and understand knows that there's this battle that goes on about every day, don't it? It'll happen in the morning when you get ready to go to work in the morning. Do you believe that? That your flesh is going to say, oh, Lord, I got to go. Oh, and I've got to take the kids to school, too. How am I going to work that out? Listen, sometimes, that's your flesh, but yet the Spirit of God understands. Listen, everything that we do, hey, I get to take the kids to school in the morning. Praise God that they're old and they're healthy and they're able to go. And I get to go into this job and make a living. He gives me the health to do that. And it's our mindset. It's our orientation in our life. And our basic orientation before Christ, you know what? It was all about me. It was all about my wants, our needs, and what I want. But when the control center changes, come on, it's all about Christ. And it gives our outlook, it changes our outlook on life. But there's a residential sin that's still around. Lee, you ever have that? Lee, I'm talking to you, man. You ever have a problem with that residential sin that you have in your flesh? And is it just me? Maybe it's just me. You know what? And it's almost like I'm fighting myself. Boom, 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 boom. That's what it's like. Sometimes your flesh, you're in this wrestling match all the time, and it's constant. It never gives up. And you've heard me say one day, I can't wait to be delivered from myself. Why? Because there's this residual sin that sets up too. It's just around. It's called flesh, and it's wrapped around me. Yes, it's my Spirit of God dwells within me, but it's wrapped around with this old flesh, and this old flesh desires the things of the world. The Spirit of God desires the things of God. It's constant. Oh, one of these days, this war against the soul will be over. And you think about cancer is when the body wars against the body. Spiritual cancer is when we fight. And when we're engaged, and we're engaged in a battle, a spiritual warfare every day and every all of the times of our life. It's like this spiritual cancer is constantly warring against itself, and it's the battle. Peter's saying, "Listen, put that to rest, put that aside. Life, we can't breeze through life. We can't just take a lackadaisical approach to life, but we have to have this attitude that we're in a war. We're in a war. Battle zones, battle stations." When you get up in the morning, it starts. Or when you lay down at night, it starts. A battle zone. Don't take this lackadaisical approach. So we have this understanding. Listen, we can't have five or six priorities in our life. We have to have one, and his name's Christ, and everything else comes under that heading, all right? He prioritizes our life So we have this inward discipline, but we also have this outward demeanor. In other words, something happens on the inside. I have these disciplines that I work out, but it's going to make its way out. Can anybody say amen? I'm going to live this discipline out in my demeanor, an outward demeanor. What does it say? Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. This inward discipline leads out to this expression where I'm making Jesus known. That's my mission. Do you understand He's called you to make His self known through you everywhere you are? That job in the morning, in the school line, it's a little hectic in the morning, ain't it? That first day, and they have everything straightened out, and they're getting, hey, she cut, that's not right. Listen, you're representing Jesus. You're representing Jesus. Don't give somebody a cussing in the school line and say, I love Jesus, okay? That's Scripture. We need to see and look at ourselves. Shine our light. Is that not what Jesus called us to do, to shine our light? And the way we live before the unbelieving world is what He's saying. The world, this world tries to just, it sucks the life out of us so many times if we're not careful. And it lures us in to this relationship. If we're not careful, where we look more like the world than we do Christ. It's hard. It's an ongoing thing. It doesn't get easier, do you understand? It's a war, and so we have to constantly be on guard with it. And the greatest way to affect our world is not with our words, but with our works, what we do. Don't say one thing out one side of your mouth and live another. They go together. It's not just our words, but our works. We live it out. We live out the example of Christ. Here, let me ask you this. Can you tell somebody? Copy me as I copy Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said that 7 times in his writing. Follow me as I... Can you tell somebody that? Follow me. Well, something about that, we're just like, oh, Lord, I don't want to tell them to do that. Follow me, and we should be able to say that. It's not perfect. There's no perfection here. If you're looking for the perfect church, this is not the place to come. Why have I say? Because I'm here. You don't want to come here. No perfect people. But Christ is perfect. And so we follow Him. And can you say that? Follow my example. That's living Christ-like. That's living this out. Living what we understand out. Here, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can we say that? Something to think about. I have to Paul say that. Man, he was single-minded. It was all about Jesus. It was all about Jesus. Genuine Christian living is our most powerful weapon. Do you hear me? The gospel being lived out in you. The message of the gospel is only powerful when the gospel is transforming your life and you're living it out in front of somebody. Don't tell somebody about Jesus and how that you can receive Christ and to share His gospel if your life is not lining up with the gospel every day. It does more damage than it does good. It's the most powerful weapon. Oh, unbelievers will falsely accuse you. We see that. Here's the deal. What do they say? They say, hey, what I said a minute ago, same words I said. Oh, you think you're better than me. You think that your truth, how arrogant that for you to think that your religion is the only one. Hey, you live in that world today, by the way, that's one of their key things, right? Yeah, everybody believes all roads lead to heaven when the Scripture says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And so when you make a stand, you become, they say, hey, how arrogant for you to think that your truth's the only truth. I didn't say it. And we should never stand in arrogance anyway. We should stand in love, man, sharing the truth. And so they'll say that. Or, hey, you're judging me. How many people's heard that? You're judging me. I'll never forget. After I got saved, I'd party with a lot of the guys I was working with. And they would... Here they bring their junk and want to party some more. And I said, no, I don't do that anymore. That's all I said. You're judging me. I said, no, all I said was I don't do that anymore. I'm not pointing my finger at you, but your very life judges them. You understand when you live a life, you're going to get made fun of. You're going to say, hey, you're judging me, or you think that you're better than I am, yada, 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 yada. You've heard it all. Hopefully you've heard it because you're living that way. But also you can use that as a platform to say, no, I'm no better than you are. No, let me tell you about what Jesus did and what He's delivered me from. And that's all I'm doing. I'm living it out. And it's not just for me. It's for you. Oh, you're struggling. struggling and you're having a hardship in your marriage, let me tell you how you can fix that marriage. Jesus! Oh, you're struggling in some area. Let me tell you how you can fix that. Jesus. We earn that by our lives that we live. Because it said, but they see your good works, which they observe. And so I want you to know something. The lost world is observing you. Do you understand that? Every day you're under the microscope, if you please. They're observing you. Don't be surprised when you're shining your light. They're not going to say, thank you for shining your light into my darkness. I mean, we expect that, don't we? Thank you so much for shining your light into my darkness. Most of them say, no, will you please turn the light off, okay? We didn't want it. We don't want it light around here. So you shouldn't surprise us, but they see your good works. And so it's the consistency, which, by the way, they're always observing. And don't say one thing and live out another, because look, they've seen enough hypocrites. They've seen enough hypocrites. The world needs to see the church being the church. Professing Christ, living Christ out, a biblical standard, biblical thinking, not perfect people, but forgiven people. Boy, they desperately need to see that in us. The day, and it says, they'll glorify God on the day of visitation. What's he talking about there? Well, there's a couple ways you could take that, but right here in the context, you know what he's saying? He's saying you can live out a life of grace and mercy and love and affect somebody. Somebody can be led to Christ because of your testimony, because you didn't just say it, but you lived it out daily. You didn't just say one thing and live another, but they saw a difference in your life. They saw some kind of light that you had that they don't have. And when God comes to them with that day of grace and visitation, which all of us that saved have experienced, you know what? It's your testimony of Christ that's made a difference in their life. Wow. What a huge thing to think about as Christians, that we can make a difference, that people can be led to Christ, to the gospel being lived out in our own lives. Great thought, is it not? Linda, come and we'll finish in our applications and then we'll go on to our baptism. Let me ask you some questions this morning. What drives your decisions or your lust or your... Is your lust or your spirit? Which one makes the decision? Is it what your flesh, what you want? Or is it the Spirit of God? Number two, does the world recognize you as a follower of Christ? Not with your words, but with your works. So they see the two going together. Are you a? Does the world recognize you as a follower of Christ? And then number three, when was the last time you told somebody about the hope that's found in Christ? If it's really your hope, if it is the thing that drives you, would we not profess that wherever we go? There's a lot of people out here who say, oh, he's such a good person. Oh, she's such a good person. You know what they should say? He's a Christian. She's a Christian. They're a Christ follower. Let's stand at our feet. What's God saying to you? We're not going to tarry long. Just a few minutes, it's going to be four young people that profess their Christianity before the world that, hey, I've received Christ and I'm making my public testimony. Have you received Christ? If God required your life before this day ended, would he stand? Would you stand before him and say, enter in? Would he stand and say, would he say, come on in, enter in, my good and faithful servant? Or would he say, depart from me, I never knew you? Only one difference, and that's Jesus. If you've received Christ as your Savior. Heads bowed before the Lord. What's God saying to you today? What's he saying? Altar's open. join South Fork Baptist Church. You got two of the girls are going to be baptized in the river today. They're coming by baptism. The mom and dad are coming by statement of faith. What is the pleasure of the church? All those in favor say aye. Those that are opposed, likewise. Amen. It's a good day. We're getting ready. Listen, when we leave here, we'll walk out, go down to the river. If you don't know, or drive over. If you have a hard time walking, you can park in his yard, and we'll finish our service by the river at a baptism service, okay? I want you guys to go back and let them give you get ready to go and stuff, and we'll get out of here, and then y'all can give them the right hand of fellowship after we come off the river. How's that? Okay? Lee, finish this, please.